Hi, we're Visible, the wireless company with nothing to hide. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not into you. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode. Nope, that's not how I start this podcast. That's not how I start. What is going on, people of the internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And in today's episode, we've got a lot written down we want to talk about. The sort of state of social media is one of them. It's kind of a little vague, but you'll get what we're talking about and sort of what on earth Instagram is doing right now. It's a lot. But also some other social media hot takes. We're going to find out why I have an unhealthy relationship with Google Calendars and a lot of Google apps, actually. And then, of course, wrap it all up with some trivia because that is still probably the most fun we have.
It's very fun.
So, yeah. First though, let's talk about, well, you have a headline that you wanted to go over. So you can jump
I'll
into this
toss
one.
This in because I read the whole headline and you saw some brief parts of it, but I'm going to preface this by saying two things really quick. This is about EV tax credits in the US. So if you're not based in the US, this is not applicable to you. And this is also a political bill that is in the process of being voted on. So it's not through yet. And it also is political, which we will be avoiding the political aspect of this. We just want to talk about what the bill could be changing to EVs and so buying EVs in the US.
Okay. Something that may be true soon about EVs.
It seems like it's trending towards potentially happening. Okay. And so the bill that is going through right now is called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2020. It has a lot of stuff in it, but we're going to focus on how it's going to change the EV tax credits in the US. And do you want to give like a really quick overview of how it works now?
Yeah, okay. So the EV tax credits, you've probably heard a lot in like when people review American electric cars about how they say what the price is, and then they also say what the price would be after an EV tax credit.
Yeah.
So basically what the government did was they said, okay, we want to incentivize people starting to jump on this electric car bandwagon. But electric cars are expensive, and we need to give them a reason to pick the electric car over the gas car. So what they did was, if you bought a qualifying electric car, the government, you could basically write it off, and you would get a $7,500, at least at the beginning, credit off of your taxes when you paid your taxes.
Yeah, this was like the federal tax credit. There are some other potential different credits you can get. And this is also like, you may get up to $7,500. But like the gist of it, if you want to do the most basic understanding of it is, you could get $7,500 off of your
car. It was like a
car
discount.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so everyone would go, oh, this car, it's actually $43,000, but after the tax credit, it's only $37,000. And it was funny, actually, Tesla on their website, do you remember this? They would put the price of the car after the tax credit and estimated gas savings. And I was like, that's not the price of the car.
If you go right now, the default still is under potential savings, and it's annoying. It's past that. So, and for why Tesla doesn't do that anymore is the big requirement right now currently is once the manufacturer sells 200,000 units, they lose the tax credit is over.
Wasn't it like something slightly more complicated?
It
like
probably
you,
is.
You, I think you sell, once you sell a certain amount of cars, let's say you're company A, you sell a certain amount of electric cars that all qualify for the tax credit, then you've run out of the credit and it cuts in half. And now you sell a certain number of cars until you run out of the half size credit, and then you sell more cars under, and it just tapers off.
I don't know exactly what that is, but at 200,000, there's no tax credit.
Yeah.
So right now—
It runs out.
Yeah, it runs out. Tesla, Toyota, and GM do not have tax credits right now. You may be wondering about Toyota. This also counts for plug-in hybrids as long as the battery is a certain size. So Tesla, GM, Toyota in the US right now have no eligibility for tax credits.
Yeah, so there are certain new companies who are just beginning to sell electric cars who are still in their phase of their cars are discounted.
Yep.
Okay.
So this new plan, I'm going to go over kind of the new regulations on what would be eligible for a tax credit. And it still is you know, up to $7,500. So let's see. I'll just go over them really quick and we can kind of then go over how this changes the landscape. So let's see. EVs need to be built in North America to be eligible for the tax credit. I don't know what the exact term built exactly built, means assembled, here. Assembled, manufactured, all that. Mm-hmm. Like can't have imports. I don't know exactly that, but right now it just says built in North America. If you have a personal income of $150,000 or a household income of over $300,000, not eligible. Mm-hmm. This I really thought was cool. Discounts occur at time of sale rather than on a tax refund from the next year.
That's sweet.
That's really cool. But the biggest thing on here that I think changes the landscape a lot is that cars have to be under $55,000 and trucks, SUVs, and vans under $80,000 to be eligible.
Okay, so they're really shrinking the eligible cars.
They're shrinking and expanding a little bit, if you think about it.
Well, on one hand, they're starting it over. They'd be starting it over.
There's no 200,000 limit anymore.
Oh.
For now. I don't know, okay, you know, sense. When this potentially ends. It is right. The bill of 2022. Does it last till the end of 22? Oh. I don't know that part quite yet. But.
Sure. I think it makes sense because instead of just blanket going, hey, your first 200,000, whatever they are, they will all be discounted. I think they're fine-tuning those that will really benefit from it. Obviously, having a salary under a certain number and having a car cost under a certain amount. Because if you're out here buying a $150,000 electric car and you have a high salary, you don't really need to benefit from that government incentive.
I'm going to take one of the examples I have to go off of that is the Taycan. The Taycan, like, sure, $7,500 off would be great, but chances are it doesn't affect, you're going to buy that car either way, where this $7,500 could be completely the deciding factor.
Exactly. For someone it becomes a more obvious incentive. Yes. I think the person buying the Taycan was going to get it anyway. Probably saying it wrong too. They were going to get it anyway. It's not a real incentive. Yes. But the people who are like actually on the fence of deciding, well, these cars are about the same price and one of them's electric and one of them's not, the incentive actually matters when the price gets knocked down by $7,500. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, the point of it and why it makes sense to me. But you're right. It does change the landscape now because you said assembled in North America. I'm just going to go by what I think.
Built in North America. Built,
I'm gonna adjust that because what I think they mean by built in North America is it's mostly assembled here.
Like the plant is.
Yeah, there might be some raw manufacturing of materials and things like that, but they ultimately put it together in North America.
I would guess that as well because I'm going to assume... I believe it's the Mach-E has some parts manufactured somewhere else, probably. But the plant and the manufacturing is in America. And I'm going to assume the Mach-E is one that will qualify.
Yeah. Sure. It's a small number, actually, that will qualify. Off the top of my head, the Mustang Mach-E, they make these here.
Surprisingly, that has not hit its 200,000 limit yet, which I'm kind of surprised at because that car is wildly popular. Yes, but I think that's good because I bet it will hit that number fairly soon, especially with Lightning coming out as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, remind me the prices again, because I was going to say Rivian R1T, but it's...
It will not. Trucks, SUVs, and vans have to be under 80,000. So...
That's also because like it starts at like 76. So is it your exact spec?
I'm assuming this.
Maybe if your exact spec is 76K, then it'll qualify.
Don't know exactly with how... Wait, and Rivian put its prices up though. Is that 76 still 76? I don't think it is anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to assume Rivian, despite being American built, is not going to be
part of this because
they're very expensive.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. So that's too expensive. So then F-150 Lightning, that's assembled in America, right?
And
Texas.
Quite a few of the models should be in there.
And they're going to be low enough priced. So as long as your salary is low enough, that will be one of them. And then Tesla Model 3 and maybe a Model Y.
I think the Y should count as an SUV.
It's an SUV. So that's going to be under 80.
Yeah. I wonder in this scenario of like what the defining factor of an SUV will be because crossover has hit this point where it's just like the range of where like hatchback goes into crossover, goes into like small SUV, goes into SUV is... A crazy.
They're gonna have to define that. But that is interesting though, because here's another thing like that happens sometimes is at least has been accused of happening is manufacturers will bump up the price. Actually, this might be different. In the past, when you still paid full price for the car, but then had to apply to get the money taken off your taxes, manufacturers would bump up the price by several thousand dollars because they knew that people were counting on getting the discount. But Now, it's occurring at the time of sale, so the company selling it doesn't actually get the money. So maybe the prices, because I was thinking, oh.
I do not.
Like Model 3 in the past, all right, the price has been going up, trickling up. And you would always just sort of subtract $7,000 in your head because you know you're getting that money back later. And so Tesla would take advantage of that and keep bumping the price up a little bit because they're going to get that money anyway, and you're going to get the money back from the government. But now with this new thing, if it occurs at time of sale, it sounds to me like the company is not going to get that money and it's just happening on the spot and they won't be able to take advantage of it.
I'm going to assume it's pretty much going to be the same thing, except rather than the customer getting the rebate later, the company is going to get the rebate later from the government. Like if this is a federal tax incentive, I'm going to guess that like—
still has to involve the government.
Yeah, Tesla's not going to lose $7,500 on the sale. They're going to get that later.
Interesting.
Rather than, and that it's basically like us getting it later as the tax incentive.
There's a lot of just me thinking out loud and not actually knowing how this
please
works.
Please know this is us thinking out loud. There's very little. But let's go down a couple of some of the like most popular EVs we're seeing in here and see if they will get included in this. Again, if it passes, not passed yet. We don't know if it will pass. It seems like it's trending towards that, but I just want to look at this. 3 and Y, I think, should be eligible for that. They have not been eligible since 2018, I think.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back. That's awesome.
Model S is too expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Both of those are too expensive. The Chevy Bolt should come back because it is General Motors and they lost their credit, so they didn't before. And that is definitely under 55,000, so that should come back. Mach-E, we mentioned before, definitely should be totally fine. Rivian's American, but I'm pretty sure it's too expensive.
Around the price.
Maybe the base model.
Yeah.
We mentioned Taycan already. No. Here's where I get kind of upset.
Also, Taycan's Porsche is German.
It's German as well. That's not, it doesn't fit at all in that bill. Cars, like, I think my two favorite and the EVs I think that are like being very hyped up and changing a lot right now is like the EV6 and the IONIQ 5, both assembled in South Korea. So these will not be part of the tax incentives. Whereas if you're buying one right now, it's in that 200
units.
So you would be getting it.
So they would lose that discount.
The potential, they would lose that. And then also along with, like, if you really think of a lot of the places making EVs right now, Volvo, Toyota, Subaru, Nissan, all of them have announced them really recently or just come out with some, all of those would lose it. Japan, Belgium, everything like that, like not US made.
So for the companies who are making it, it potentially hurts their US sales a little bit specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I've seen a lot of IONIQ 5s and EV6s out there. We are currently testing an IONIQ 5 and it's super sick. And as soon as you start driving it, you realize how many are also around you. You start seeing them everywhere. It's one of those things. And so maybe, I imagine a lot of people who are getting that car are also actively taking advantage of that tax discount. So yeah, that'll be curious to see how it affects specifically US sales of those models. Do I think it changes the landscape of like the Porsches and the Hummer EVs of the world, the $80,000 plus EVs that people are just going to get anyway? Not really.
No.
I think they're still going to have a market for them. But yeah, as far as adoption, that's what we're most concerned about. And it's also such a crazy market right now. Cars are just expensive right now.
Yeah,
period.
So which I kind of want to toss out here, and I just looked at it right now. The Model 3 rear-wheel drive is $46,900. The Model 3 long range right now starts at $57,900. So actually—
that's too expensive.
Wouldn't be it. And it's also like not enough over to where, do you think you could potentially, if this passes, see the Model 3 drop down to meet the requirement? And then, because at this point, right, that would incentivize more people to buy. And if you drop it down to—
oh, I see what you're saying.
What is it, 55? So if you drop it down to like 54.99, and then they would be getting—
so you're saying, because I imagine—
no, I guess, no, yeah.
I was imagining like Tesla sees the $55,000 price line show up and they— I don't really see them lower their price actively very often. So I imagine they'd be like, oh, bummer, you have to pay full price. But that's interesting. You're saying they might lower it to $54,900 so that people see that and go, oh, I'm going to get a discount and they'll buy that car more often. Possibly.
Yeah. Like, is that $3,000 worth what a user would be seeing as at that point $10,000 because it's $3,000 cheaper plus $7,500?
I'm sure they'll do the math.
I'll be interested to see what that does. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot of rear wheel Model 3s, I think.
Sure.
For sure.
Works for me. Yeah, no, I think at the end of the day, we do want to see more affordable EVs. And I remember when I asked Elon, remember at the interview, one of the questions I had was like, all right, you've gotten to maybe a $30,000, $35,000 lowest end baseline Model 3. Mm-hmm. Is there a world where there's a $25,000 EV in the future?
Something interesting you said is one of the top five most frequent trade-ins for Model 3 is a Prius, right?
Yeah.
Which starts at, you know, 20 something thousand dollars, and they obviously have massive economies of scale. Do you think there's room? I mean, Tesla has Model 3, Model S, and Roadster and up. Is there room for possibly an even less expensive quality electric car experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in order for us to get to, like, let's say ultimately getting to like a $25,000 car, that's something we could do, but it's probably, if we really work really hard, I think maybe we could do that in 3 years.
And like every year since that interview, there's been some article written about how Tesla's eventually going to make like a $25,000 Model 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just seems like that gets further and further from possibility as the market gets more and more difficult to make cars in. Like supply chain's crazy. The car market is crazy. The lowest end Model 3 you can get is well over 40 grand. It's like, I don't see a quality $25,000 EV happening anytime soon. So the fact that we are still trying to get there and incentivizing it and hopefully something like this can pass and be good, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, EVs, they're expensive. It's a fact.
They are very expensive.
Yeah. All right. Well, before the next segment, let's take a quick break for trivia because it's been a minute. We had Mark Rober on last time. We didn't get to do trivia. It was a fun interview, but that was missing. So let's get back into the trivia.
I haven't done trivia in 2 weeks.
Oh, David, yeah, because David filled in for you. He did okay.
That was very fun to listen to. I was listening to it on a car ride and it was very entertaining.
Sick.
All right, trivia. So just a reminder of what the score is.
Sure.
Marquez has 3. Andrew has 2. And David also has 2 because he got to play.
I can't believe I'm still in this. I think
what we were going to do, I think Ellis and I were talking about it, is do like a points per game type of thing. So we can see.
Oh, that's cool. Are we still going to do?
Because you missed last week and David will probably miss a bunch. So
okay. Yeah, but his points per game might still be really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
But Andrew answers first because he's technically... Because
he's down.
Just rub it in.
Go for it.
All right. So the first question is actually multiple choice.
Okay.
I love these.
So what was the first physical video format that was able to contain interactive special features? Is it A, Laserdisc, B, Blu-ray, or C, DVD?
Okay.
We'll get back to the trivia answers right after this. Actually, no, that's at the end of the episode, but we'll get back to the episode right after this.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury. The art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Support for this show comes from NetSuite. Let's do some quick math. So the less your business spends on operations or multiple systems, the more margin you'll have, and that equals more money in your pocket. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, I mean, everything seems to cost more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. So NetSuite is a leading cloud financial system bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. And so you can reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. So you can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program, so head to netsuite.com/waveform. That's netsuite.com/waveform. netsuite.com/waveform.
All right, welcome back. I kind of want to talk about social media. I have this listed as the state of social media, kind of like how we used to always go over the state of 4K. But like recently on like Twitter and all over the news, everyone's complaining about Instagram. And I'm fully on board with it. But I mean, like,
I've seen this.
To the point, like, why can't I remember the Kardashian? Kylie Kardashian.
Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay. Totally fine.
She's the biggest account on Instagram right now, right? Posted about how Instagram's terrible. And
we looked it up recently. One of the biggest. Easily one of the biggest.
Okay, yeah. So anyways, Instagram's making a lot of changes recently. And a lot of people, I think every friend group I have, I've heard someone complain about Instagram recently. And I just kind of like, let's take a minute. Let's talk about some of the different social media sites out there. There's a lot of different little tidbits in the news about all of them. Let's kind of rank them a little bit and let's go over how we use them and what we like and what we don't like about them.
I have an idea.
Okay.
I have an idea. I'm going to do a tier list.
Okay.
I'm going to do like tiers for each of them.
That's a great Clips title.
But each one of them, I'm going to give a tier based on if I am a creator on that platform and if I am a user of the platform.
I like that a lot.
So it might be different for each one. So let's start from, you want to start from Instagram?
Let's start Instagram. It's what everyone's talking about
right now.
All right,
so everyone's complaining that you're getting all these posts in your feed that are from accounts you don't follow.
Hate it.
There are videos all the time. It's just random stuff. I keep seeing them. I keep hitting the little X. It's so annoying how often they pop up.
Yeah.
But that's the main complaint. Do you remember when you couldn't upload to Instagram at all? You could only use the camera and post what you took in the camera.
I don't remember that.
The beginning of Instagram was you opened Instagram and you hit the camera button and it opened your camera and that's what you had to post. And then maybe you could add a filter after. And then it was a huge deal when you could upload a new picture to Instagram. That was a big step. And then there's another step where you could start adding videos and we went through the whole IGTV thing.
But that works great.
At its core, Instagram was just pictures.
I like that. I like saying the core, like what is the core of this? The core of this was you follow people that you're interested in.
Pictures of your friends.
And you want to see what they're up to through pictures.
Sure. Great. Now, we'll get to Facebook later, but I actually could make an argument that that's never what Instagram was about. But that's what we like to feel like Instagram is about. Pictures of your friends, right?
Yes.
So now it's like they're shoving you things in our face. The explore page is just chaos. It's reels. It's all this stuff I don't care about, but they're just putting it in my home feed. Stop it. I would say, as a user of Instagram, which I am, Instagram is like a B tier right now.
Okay.
At this very moment, if they change nothing, it's like B tier. It's kind of getting annoying, but we still use it. People still post stuff. Photo dumps are a thing. Reels are interesting. As a creator, Instagram is actually A tier.
Okay.
It's A tier, but it's not S tier.
Not S
tier. You already know what's S tier.
Yeah,
it's YouTube and TikTok, but we'll get there.
Yeah. No, not a lot of people agree with us.
Instagram is good for posting things and getting them fairly predictably seen. Like if you know you want your video to be seen, you make a 60-second or less vertical version of it and put it in Reels and it will be seen. That's just the way Instagram works right now.
It's
also Adam Mosseri, for as much as he gets roasted on Twitter, very transparent and open about what they're doing on Instagram.
I did not like, I think his last, so he got torn apart on Twitter about a week ago because he had to make a statement about all of this. In fact, I think they rolled a few changes back, or maybe they just rolled back the testing they were doing. It was like a full screen.
Yeah, like a small test.
But he mostly said,
"Now I want to be clear. We're going to continue to support photos. It's part of our heritage. You know, I love photos. I know a lot of you out there love photos too. That said, I need to be honest. I do believe that more and more of Instagram is going to become video over time. We see this even if we change nothing. We see this even if you just look at chronological feed."
They have the data. It's hard to argue that. But a lot of the stuff he made it sound like, this is what we're seeing going forward, and this is what you want, this is where we have to go. And it all just felt like, this is how we're making the most money on it. And I didn't love it a lot, just because it felt like, I hated that he was giving all these like weird little ways to kind of fix it by like, if you really want to see what your friends are up to, add them to your favorites. It's like, I've got more than 10 friends. I would not like to do it that many times. Or like, mm-hmm. you can snooze them, but you can only snooze recommendations for 30 days. So every month I have to snooze recommendations again. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. And we want to promote small creators by putting them in the recommended page so more people can find them. It's like, cool. Fair. You have a tab right next to my homepage that does that already. And I actually really enjoy that tab. There's a lot of really great stuff on there, and they do recommend a lot of stuff.
So this is probably where we have to talk about TikTok, because pretty much all of the changes that Instagram has been making are a response to TikTok and or a copy of what TikTok is doing so well. Mm-hmm. So when we say that, like you, for example, you have the group of people you follow, and if you ever want to explore and see new stuff, I'll go to the explore page. That's fine. Well, guess what TikTok's doing right now? Eating everyone's lunch, and all they show you is stuff you don't follow. The non-default is switching to just who you follow, but it's by default exploring new things by swiping through.
It does put your follows in there. The funny thing is I almost never follow anyone anymore because it's so good at just finding the things that that I enjoyed. And then I feel like I'm following those people already.
So your default in TikTok is just like whatever it's recommending you.
Yes.
And they are killing it as far as engagement, enjoyment, discovery of content. If you're a creator and you upload there, it just gets found by the right people because the algorithms are that good. And so Instagram's seeing this and they're like, if we don't start to recommend things more like TikTok is, TikTok's just gonna pass us. They're just gonna take all the people that we've been like serving this entire time, and they're just gonna pass us and beat us. So if we just go, hey, if you want that experience, there's a separate thing over here. They've tried that before. Like IGTV was a thing, it was a separate app that died. Like anytime they tuck something behind literally one button press, they know it gets less use. So they realize that they have to start interrupting the normal Instagram experience to be more of what they want people to do more, which is discover stuff.
Yep.
And so now they're being sort of warped by this space-time tear that is in this TikTok that's just dominating everything.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, because they've done this before when Snapchat did stories. Instagram swooped in and got stories. And I've always said that was like the most opportune time ever, because Snapchat did a full redesign and added stories, or they added stories, then did a full redesign. And as that redesign happened and people got mad at it, Instagram picked up stories. And then they were like, oh, well, I'm on Instagram already. I have stories. I'm following the same people in here.
You know what they're probably doing? They're probably hoping that this goes the way that went. Like Snapchat was coming up because of this story thing, and Facebook/Meta/Instagram went, oh yeah, we could do that too. And then they added it to their app, and then people went, oh, well, this is where I follow people already. All my friends are here, so I don't need to use Snapchat stories anymore. And they're probably hoping that people who are using TikTok will just go, oh, well, I could just find all this stuff on this one app I already use and stop using TikTok. Probably not going to go the same way.
I don't think it's going to go the same way. TikTok is just killing it right now. It is just on the up and up. It's got to be the most popular thing. We're saying it's S tier right now. And like, as a user, I would agree it's S tier. It's the most fun I have in an app constantly, to just like, I use it often because I don't have to sit down and dedicate a ton of time to it. Yeah. I can sit down and dedicate a ton
easily
of time.
Dedicate
like way too easily. It's just, it's what I want. It's turn my brain off and just not have to have an attention span and just go through things. And like you said, it's not people I follow. It's not people I care about keeping in touch with. That's what Instagram is. And I hate that I'm losing that.
Yeah. As a creator, I think you could argue that TikTok is also S tier, but I think the argument against that would be monetization is not as obvious.
Yes.
That's why YouTube
still
is
terrible.
Still apex.
Yes.
And people who blow up, here's the ultimate. Like, people who blow up on TikTok want to become YouTubers. So TikTok can't be S tier. YouTube is the only S tier platform as a creator.
Yeah.
So I guess that means TikTok is A tier for creators.
Can I say, to add a third category in here for a second.
Sure.
A small business on TikTok could be
S tier.
Totally S tier. I've watched some videos from like all sorts of different. There was recently this guy who builds these like wood creations of different like sports teams and stuff. And he built one for a streamer, Nick Merckx, and just sent it to him. Nick showed it on screen. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm backed up for like 6 months. And that's just because they found the TikTok video of him sending it to him.
Yeah.
And like now he's getting invited to baseball games and giving baseball players these wooden like structures or whatever he makes of their jerseys. And like, you just see all these like different businesses and they can create these little communities and then those communities are posting. And then you see the video only has 1,000 likes, but you can see the sales they're making are like insane. It's fun to watch.
It's also really cringe to watch the businesses that are specifically trying to go viral on TikTok instead of just like interacting organically. And if something picks up and catches, then it just works.
That's what I've seen.
Because I see a lot of them who are like, all right, we are joining TikTok with the explicit intent of going viral. Let's do it.
Yes.
And then everything they post is just trying to like lean in and it's not a good look.
I agree totally. I actually think it's the non-viral posts that get the best stuff out of it. Because like if you can just get into that like small community and like TikTok is so good at recommending things. I like got recommended this random like pre-workout guy who like just started a business making this pre-workout. And he just like all he does is he's like, I'm going to tell you everything I'm doing, trying to create this business. And I follow this guy religiously now because it's just fun watching him create new things on it. It's really interesting. I don't know where we left off.
We've got Instagram. We've got our tiers for that.
TikTok,
we're pretty set as like S tier as a user, A tier as a creator, obviously on the come up, doing massive numbers. The most viewed thing I've ever watched or created is a TikTok. And I've made $0 from TikTok.
If TikTok's creator fund could get better, it would be S tier easy, but it's still really bad now. And Hank Green talks about that still a lot. So if you want to follow that, follow Hank Green.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have a hot take on Snapchat here.
Okay.
I think Snapchat could be the closest thing the US has to a universal messaging system like iMessage.
Universal messaging system. Well, it's multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's on iOS and Android. It has stories, it has ephemeral messages, it has chat,
it has picture messaging,
it has video calling.
The thing right now is the chat gets deleted after 24 hours.
You can save them if you
want. You can save them, but you would have to save everyone. I think if it could default to saved chats. So you and I, we grew up with Snapchat as the like, oh look, I saw a squirrel eating a slice of pizza on the ground over there. Yeah, I'm going to take a picture that I don't care about and just send it because it's funny to a couple people.
Yeah.
But the generation under us is like, they're not giving out phone numbers. They're giving out Snapchat accounts. Mm-hmm. And that's how people are. I feel like a boomer here, but like that is what's happening. And I stopped using Snapchat a lot because I thought it got annoying because they were just like, too many groups I was a part of that was just like constant message, like
pictures.
It's
like all I have now. It's just groups.
I stopped doing it. I left all the groups. I turned my notifications off. And now recently I turned my notifications back on because I'm missing the just like, this is a funny thing that's happening in my life right now. And I want to send that to four other people I think that would think that's funny. Yeah. But I won't send four picture messages to do that.
And I won't put it on my story because only the people I'm sending it to will understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
Exactly. So like it has video calling. You can send pictures that don't get absolutely destroyed. Pictures and videos that don't get destroyed cross-platform. So many people on iPhone and Android are using it. I think as we get older and the younger people start using it more, it's going to get more and more popular. And I think it might be the closest thing we have to.
Sounds like your tier is pretty high then. If you put it in a tier as a user, how high would you put Snapchat then?
For me, this is something that could happen. Snapchat is fine.
It's a hot take.
Snapchat's it's B tier.
B tier?
Yeah.
As a creator, I mean, there's Snapchat shows. And you can have a public Snapchat, but like at best, people aren't just finding or discovering it. I think Snapchat as a creator, as far as like getting your stuff out there or monetizing, has got to be D tier at best.
Yeah, I would like to speak to someone younger than us and see how often they use it. I hate the Discover page on Snapchat.
It's terrible. It's the worst stuff I ever,
I'm almost seeing it as like an app, like not a social media platform, as a messaging app at this point.
Interesting. There is also Twitter. Twitter has its own little vibe going on. It's not being bought by Elon anymore, I guess, is our official
word. Not being bought by Elon. That's why we never talked about it in the first place. It's like that was a pretty common outcome I think a lot of people saw, so we never talked about it. But what do you rate it as? I think we like it more than a lot of other people do.
Yeah, it's interesting. Twitter is one of those things where if you're on Twitter, it seems like such a big deal. But if you're not on Twitter, it's very easy to get all the same, most of the same stuff elsewhere, because it's like news headlines and then occasional like posts that go viral, but that just get news articles written about them anyway. And then like the occasional like surprising post from someone who isn't very accessible usually. Like some celebrity will tweet something and you're just like, oh, that's a, like an NBA player will tweet about a game they're watching. You're like, that's cool that that's your thoughts in real time. But they're also doing all these weird things with like NFT profile pictures.
Well, they're making Twitter Blue more expensive while, as far as I know, not adding anything to it, which has almost nothing to start with.
Yeah. And I guess if you're a user, you can just ignore that and still keep using Twitter the same way you always did. I like that the app you can use, it's not chronological by default, but you can very easily get a chronological view either by using a third-party app or by switching it in the main app. So, as a user, I think Twitter for me is actually, I was going to say A tier.
Mine's really high, I think, personally. I would say
A-tier. But as a creator though, it's really interesting. I do most of my social engagement with my audience right now for me personally on Twitter.
Yeah.
I see a lot of responses to videos. I see a lot of video ideas. I see a lot of commentary on other videos and people sending me stuff they think I would like. I get tagged in things. I respond to things. Waveform has a Twitter. We tweet from that. We share things we make. Other people share. I think Twitter as a creator, and this is also kind of unusual, but I post videos on Twitter too sometimes, just like short videos and quick stuff. I think for me, it's also A tier. Twitter is also A tier.
I can agree with that. I think as the somebody who follows a creator, it's S tier. Like, it is the best chance you're going to have at actually having some sort of interaction with somebody larger that you follow.
Yeah.
I do think the niches are very specific to Twitter. Like, very few, like, tech loves Twitter. NFTs love Twitter. But I know, like, some cooking channels that are huge on Instagram, and then I go to their Twitter, and I'm like, is this, like, a personal account you've never touched? Or I know people who have 500,000 people on Instagram and they'll have like 3,000 followers on Twitter. It's just like a lot. There are a lot of people who don't use Twitter at all.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It is probably out of like all the stuff, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. It's probably your best chance of interacting with some random connection.
Yeah.
Just of someone.
Like you said, we read a lot of it because it's easy to just scroll through a lot of different suggestions and comments and recommendations and stuff.
Yeah. Do you pay for Twitter Blue?
No.
I don't know.
Would you? I would have thought about it previously if you took ads off completely.
Yeah, I think I'm going to unsubscribe.
Yeah, I don't see a point for it.
I've had it for a couple months.
Do you use anything with it? Do you even know you have it?
I know I have it because every time I send a tweet, it doesn't send it for 30 seconds while it does a little countdown timer.
Has that ever made you mad?
Do you want to undo this? Yes, because it's buggy. I'll tweet something and I'll hit the tweet button and then it like shifts down and it turns gray and it starts the countdown timer. And then I'm like, actually, I do want to undo that. And then it disappears and I have to like go find it again in the next 30 seconds. And then I see a notification pop up says your tweet's been sent. And I'm like, I wanted to actually undo it that time. Yeah, I don't think Twitter Blue is very good and I will be retracting my subscription. Thank you very much.
Later.
Yeah. What else we got? So we got Facebook.
F tier, garbage.
F tier, but Facebook used to be, Facebook. Facebook used to be where your friends are. So it was A tier because that's your actual friends and your actual connections.
Sure.
And just for that reason.
Yeah.
But it's such a cluster now.
It sucks now. It's just recommended garbage and ads. And
it's your oldest friends from high school. It's your parents.
It's my family and Facebook Marketplace now. That's what it is for me. And even that is... The most infuriating thing on Facebook Marketplace is I'm on this because it killed Craigslist. So I want to go on there and look for local things. Mm-hmm. Every time you search, it defaults back to local and shipping. And most of the recommendations are like ads for places like shipping furniture. Like I want to go find like a coffee table that somebody's getting rid of because I need a coffee table for way cheaper because they're ridiculously expensive. Yeah. But I don't want to buy one from across the country and pay for shipping on Facebook Marketplace. Like that's not what I'm looking to do.
Yeah.
Default it to local and let me keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ellis brings up a good point. There are groups. So kind of like subreddits, like you can have, you can join a group and sort of talk with like-minded people about a subject. Maybe that's your thing on Facebook. I don't know. I don't really use Facebook very much. So I'm going to say for me as a user, Facebook is like D tier.
Sucks.
It's not that great.
It sucks.
It's not F tier because it still works and it's still like I don't connect with any of those people on any other social. And then as a creator, it's awful. It's terrible. I literally have to pay to get my posts seen. I hate that about it. I'm saying F tier as a creator.
It sucks.
Yeah. Sorry, Facebook, but not sorry, Meta, whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to wrap this up. Have you heard of Be Real?
I've heard of Be Real and maybe I should investigate a little bit. Do you want to explain it?
So I think like four of us attempted to use it in the office. I want to start this out to explain it. Okay. Basically, you sign up for this account. You and your friends at some point during the day will get a notification that says, like, take a picture of what you're doing.
Random time?
Random time. Okay. So in that time, you have to take a picture and it takes it with your front and your back camera so you can see what you're looking at and what you look like in that scenario.
Okay.
So I think that's actually a really good idea. It feels like, you remember Beam, right?
Yeah, Casey's. Beam. I was going to bring up Beam because Beam was all about, you don't get the polish of like looking at what you captured and editing it and having a filter.
Yeah.
You just put your phone up to your chest and it would just capture whatever you're doing. And that was it.
I liked the thought behind that of like, I don't want it to be polished, but putting it against your chest means you could just like also potentially completely miss something or like the scenario of that happening is much harder. Where this is like, it lets you take the picture and then you'll be late if you don't do it right away. So you can kind of like cheat. So like, you have 2 minutes to do it. You can at least take a nice picture. You can't edit it a bunch. And you also have to look at yourself. So it's like, it's that in the moment, but at least you have the opportunity to get something that actually shows the moment you're in. Yeah. I like that a lot. Great
idea. Cool. It is a cool idea. Everything else is so polished. Even in like Instagram stories, it's like you can just upload a file from your desktop. Like everything is so constructed that like I think people still want a very raw version of things. With Twitter, you can sort of just dump your thoughts in text and that's kind of raw. But I think Be Real, maybe that's like a sort of, it's kind of what Snapchat stories, Instagram stories used to be a long time ago.
I can kind of see that too, yeah.
Just a trash thing I'm going to throw out. Does it live forever or does it disappear?
Or is it's actually a good question.
Post to a group or something?
Here's why I might not know about that. Because if we're going to talk about not being polished, that's what this whole app seems to be because it is a total mess. It is awful.
It's iOS and Android or just...
Yeah, we haven't used it in probably a month at this point. So maybe some things have changed. But all of us stopped using it because of how annoying it is to use. It should be really simple. It should be like, here, take your B-reel right now, whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. I would come up into the like camera app inside it, take a picture, nothing would happen. Then all of a sudden it would just like nothing would happen. I would swipe out of it and then I would look back and it posted a picture of like my face and like whatever was in front of me, like
super raw
and not in focus or like motion blur because it probably took it when I moved the phone after
like
that.
It just
would
back in your
completely
pocket.
Freeze. Yeah. And like trying to go into other people's pictures and trying to leave comments and stuff. Basically everything that might not work didn't work at some point. I think every button I pressed in that at some point broke.
Huh.
It was awful. I couldn't stand it. So all of us have stopped using it.
So it's a baby. It's a very early app. Probably has too many users and it has too many bugs to fix and it's not very good.
It sounds like it's getting better and it's getting popular. I hear a lot of people using it, but I've also heard a lot of people having a ton
I've
of issues
I've heard
it
being mentioned.
It.
All right, I'll let you put it in tiers then.
For a creator, it doesn't feel very creator-based at all, which is why I like it so much. Idea, A tier, execution. I mean, I don't think I could even put it as a C because I literally deleted it because it was so bad. maybe I'll try it again. But the problem is now I have to convince all the people that also deleted it to try it again.
Right, because it's just your friends.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd say right now, I bet the best it could be is C tier.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think we're finding that the social networks that are most of your friends are an F tier for a creator. And the social networks that are the least of your friends are the highest tier for a creator.
That's an interesting, or well, the ones that are getting good for creators are getting worse for your friends. Like Instagram is choosing a side right now. Yeah. And I hate that side.
Like if I'm putting YouTube at the top of all of this, as a user for me, YouTube is either A tier or S tier, depends on the day. It's really good. It recommends stuff all the time. I'm subscribed to people and I can easily get to my subscriptions. It shows me the subscriptions. Notifications work sometimes. You know, it's A tier for the most part, it works. And then as a creator, it's S tier. It's pretty good.
It's S-tier.
It gets my videos out. It has recommendations. They work pretty well. Everyone has different experiences with YouTube. They might say it's B tier or C tier, but it's one of the best places to go if you are looking to be a creator, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because your friends aren't there. Well, it's not because your friends aren't there.
That's why
your friends aren't there.
I have a hard time calling it social media in that aspect. It's fair. Like it's creator social media, not like friend social media. But it's still social media nonetheless.
Google Plus was S tier for both.
You know what I keep thinking about with Be Real, by the way?
Yeah.
The first person that figures out how to post polished pictures is going to just go super viral.
Yep. The thing is can you discover other people? Because isn't it you're only ever in your like friend group?
Yeah, but that also happened with Snapchat at the beginning.
True, very
true. And people still went very viral.
And then you can
very
make public Snapchats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the aspect of it. Like both you mentioned and now Adam mentioned is like Instagram and all these other things. You can take pictures with DSLRs that are super polished and do it. You can't do that with Be Real right now. So I like that a lot.
How long till that changes? And then they decide they need to make money.
What happens first? Does the app explode because it doesn't work? Or does Instagram steal it? Because now they just announced Instagram Duel, which is the exact same thing.
Right? Shocker. Instagram copying something from another
company.
Let's
see how well this one works.
Surprise, surprise.
So lean team. Too lean. No iPad app.
We're leaner
too
than
lean.
You'd expect.
Leaner than you'd expect.
We just copy things. Anyway, okay. Well, that's pretty much it. I'm still standing on Google Plus being S tier for both and ultimately being the best social media ever created until it eventually died. We should do one more trivia question and then take a quick break because we want to talk about a little bit of
your toxic
addiction,
trait.
My toxic trait.
All right. Second trivia question. So, which social media app was released in 2011 and was originally called Peekaboo? After the break.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armorall, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armorall products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at Armorall.com. Armorall, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Support for Waveform comes from 1Password. So it's hard to come up with a totally unique password every time you need one, but it's what you gotta do to stay secure. Luckily, a password manager makes creating and tracking your passwords completely painless. So 1Password combines industry-leading security with award-winning design to bring its users private, secure, and user-friendly password management. And it does that by generating as many strong, unique passwords as you need, and then securely storing them in an encrypted vault that only you have access to. With 1Password, you just need to remember one strong account password and it'll protect everything else from your logins, your credit cards, notes, office Wi-Fi, etc. You no longer need to keep a bunch of sticky notes all over your desk or reuse the same password over and over again. I've tried out 1Password. As you know, I switch between devices and phones constantly. And so using 1Password to just fill out things quickly and log into a whole bunch of stuff makes switching between devices a lot easier. So I'm all good to go once I sign in. So right now, our listeners can get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/waveform. That's the number 1Password.com/waveform for 2 free weeks. So 1Password.com/waveform. All right, welcome back. Last little bit here. I just wanted to just put something out there and see if anyone else can relate. That's basically all I wanted to do. Adam sparked a conversation in our Slack today because there was a headline about a new camera, a new calendar app coming out called Daybridge. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I live in three apps. Mm-hmm. And without them, I would be a useless shell of a human. And they are Google Calendar, Google Tasks, and Google Maps.
Okay. Fair.
If you took those three apps, or at least those three like functional things, like a task app, a maps app, and a calendar app out of my life, I would just be walking around like, what am I doing? I don't know what to do. Where am I? What's happening? So that's me. So I every couple weeks I get the like urge to like, you know how you change your wallpaper on your phone, you just like spice it up a little bit and you're sort of like
talking to the wrong
start
person.
Acting different. You don't change your wallpaper?
I changed mine for the first time in like 3 years and it's the exact same colors as my old one.
It looks like the same one.
It looks exactly.
All right, well, I change my wallpaper every couple weeks just to like feel something. And that's kind of the way I feel like an urge to change all three of these apps up. Okay. I've used TickTick, which is my tasks app, the longest. In college, I went through a phase where like once a week, I would use a different tasks app. Remember the Milk, just Google Tasks.
Remember the Milk?
RTM, yeah. Remember the Milk was a long
time ago. That was
the
name of an app?
Yeah,
that sounds like an old app.
Wunderlist, Google Tasks. There's a lot of these tasks app I've tried. Okay. If you look at like, if you just search in the top like Google Play results for tasks and look at the first like 20, I've probably used all 20 at some point.
Okay.
I've settled on TickTick. It's really, really good. Google Calendar, once you like live in Google Calendar long enough, you have like a couple things set up, you're subscribed to a few calendars, like things are sort of like built in, and you can't really leave, but the UI and the app itself is like okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I like trying other calendar and organizational apps that will like loop them all into one place and maybe look different, give me some functionality. I just get nonstop ads on Facebook and Instagram now for other task calendar apps to like wrap them up. I can't even remember the names of them anymore. So I just wanted to share that. I am very susceptible to trying new organizational apps, especially with tasks and calendar.
Okay. And Daybridge, like, so you said you love TickTick.
Yes.
But you are open to ditching it at any point if you can find something.
Literally, if it just looks better.
If it literally
just has one feature TickTick doesn't have, I'm like, maybe I'll organize my life around this one feature. Okay. Possibly.
So let's dive into that a little bit. Like, you say just looks better. Do you think right now the UI on most of these are really bad? And are you, is it like ease of use? Is it just straight up aesthetics? Like, okay. What is your, you create your perfect calendar app?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so calendar is pretty straightforward. It's just got to let me quickly and easily create events.
Okay.
And then let me create them with my voice or just by typing them and then just put in all the information I know about them, especially location, because if it's just going to tell me what the event is but not where it is, it's useless. So Tell me where it is and when it is and what it's called and I can be there. Google Calendar is pretty good. I don't think it's the most visually appealing, so I would like one that looks better. Yeah. And if they have any other, a lot of these just have like cool features for like figuring out where your events are going to be. Like a lot of people will go, hey, you want to set up a meeting? Here, just input your time somewhere in my Calendly. I think it's called Calendly or something
like that.
And it'll just like give you a bunch of slots and you can like input your meeting time on their calendar, okay. Like stuff like that. Google Calendar doesn't let me do that. So I always have to go back and forth on the tab and figure it out. So I just look for cool features basically. And then with tasks, I am constantly writing down what I have to do because if I don't write it down, I will forget it and I will not do it. So okay. I have to write everything down. So it's got to be quick to let me write things down and it's got to be quick to let me organize them and remind me to do the things. And if I can somehow sort of associate it with a calendar so I know what I'm doing on what day, that would be nice too, but not all of them do that. Mm-hmm. And then most of them are pretty ugly. So that's sort of a shame.
Okay. One thing I was reading about this Daybridge new thing, and while most of the stuff they've talked about are future plans, One thing I did like about it was it seemed like all of the different events and stuff on it could be essentially input as things that are more important and not as important. Like if you're expecting a package to come between 9 and noon, it would be like a more transparent thing on your calendar. Because when I look at your calendar on your computer, I have an anxiety attack because it's just like 50 giant different colored bold bubbles, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look like you have a free second for the next 5 years. Like it's terrifying. So like having that little different aspect of like, you know, this is on this calendar for today, but it might just be something I'm expecting and thinking about, not I need to do. Yeah,
I'm looking at this now because I hadn't had a shot to look at it. Like you're right. Like I will put check into a hotel on my calendar.
Yeah.
Because when I get off the plane, the first thing I need to do is Uber to the hotel. And where do I find that? Do I find the email? What do mm-hmm. I do? So I just make an all day calendar event for the days that I'm in the hotel. And then I put the location in the calendar event for the hotel. So I get off the plane and I open the calendar event. So it'd be nice if it didn't take up a whole thing at the top with a calendar event, but I still need to remember where to check into the hotel. So they put it in this little transparent thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but right now all they've done, Daybridge has done, is like make the calendar, and then all these features are things they're working on. So
I'll try it.
It looks interesting, but I do agree, like tapping on my phone into like a Google Calendar app and having to scroll down just this like needlessly big box to get to something else at the bottom feels like really bad UI. Yeah. I don't love it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I have a question for you.
So pretty though. What?
I saw an argument about this on, I saw it on our subreddit because I guess I kind of know the answer, but are you the kind of person who puts take out the trash on your calendar? I am.
Okay, so it is both on my tasks list and on my calendar.
Is it? Okay.
It is a repeating task in my task list, which is associated with my town. Okay. If you go to their website, you can subscribe to a Google Calendar that's customized to what block you live on and when they do trash pickup.
So that's intense.
I went to my town's website. I found the lookup for like when trash is, and it's like putting your address. Okay, here's the block that you're on. Now, do you want to subscribe to the recycling calendar or the trash calendar or both or the leaf pickup calendar? I've subscribed to like 6 of them because they're the things that I need to know about. And now they all show up in my Google Calendar.
Your calendar sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it's useful.
It's a fever dream.
It's so good.
Wait. Yeah. When, if you're subscribed to that, when does it tell you to take out the trash?
I have a notification set to remind me the 10 minutes before.
10 minutes before they come?
That's just
the
calendar. Yeah, 10 minutes before they come is like 7 in the morning. Oh my God. But it's in the morning when I wake up.
You're too responsible. Mine goes the night before because it's a 2-hour window because that's what I need.
That's what I do with tasks. So with the task, I told myself to take it out the night before. But when I wake up and I get that notification saying the trash is going out in 10 minutes, if I haven't already done it, I'll do it. But I did have to manually do the repeating tasks to remind myself to take things out.
If there was a week where that was deleted, like someone pranked you and deleted that, would you take the trash out?
No.
I would not either.
I would see the pile getting bigger in my garage, like, that's weird. And I would just leave. Yeah. That's what would happen.
I have to say, like wearing a smartwatch more and more often, having the take the trash out thing come up on my watch has been amazing because most of the time I'll get home, I'm going to go like make dinner, do some stuff around the house. So I put my phone down. And then when I finally am like changed and I sit down and then I see at 9:30, take the trash out, I'm like,
it's the only reason you put my shoes on.
Yeah. So getting it right at 8 o'clock on my watch while I'm up doing things, it's like, well, I got to do this now. So I don't have to take my shoes off and I don't have to put a jacket on or anything.
Yeah. It's a lot. I map out my life in the calendar and there is no task too small to put in tasks. Like, I reminded myself this morning to pack my frozen lunches to bring here because there is 0% chance. I forgot yesterday. And then once I remembered yesterday, I wrote it down and set a reminder for this morning so that when I was about to leave, I got a reminder saying, put your lunch in your bag. I wouldn't have done it without that notification.
I don't want to admit this because I think you'll think less of me, but the way I do small things like that is I just set alarms.
Like a voice assistant, you go remind me.
I don't even do it. I just type it in the alarm for some reason.
Oh, like so a like, clock app.
Like mine would be, if the night before I realize I want to bring something to work, I set an alarm for right around when I'm about to leave, which also means all of my alarms are named very random.
Do you
random
have like
things.
Dozens of alarms?
I think I have 6 right now.
Okay.
So there's like wake up, but right now I have one that's called Advil. I have one called David Mouse because I think I had a mouse at home I wanted to bring for David.
Oh, that's your task set.
I have one called Vox because I was supposed to send Vox something. And I have another called Zoom because I had a Zoom
for
something.
Bro, you need to try a task set.
I wish I had some of the ones because sometimes it's like 4 or 5 things. It'll be like dog food, climbing shoes and like return to mail. That's just what my alarm will say at like 10:30
on a Tuesday.
And
you're like, what does this mean? I wrote this down a long time
pretty
ago.
Pretty much. It's
yeah,
it's
you
hectic.
You should try Tick Tick just because like it can be as simple or as complex as you want, right? Like you can make it do everything like I do, or you could just be like, you could just hold it down. Because here's the other thing. I would like it to be better integrated into Google Assistant, where I could open the assistant and go, remind me to get groceries at 6 p.m. And it would put a task in my tasks app to do that. I wish it did that.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
It just does the calendar reminders, right?
You can do is you can say set an alarm for 6 p.m. for groceries and it will actually set an alarm in the clock app and it'll tell you to do groceries at 6 p.m. But so I have to do every time. I have to go to the tasks app and it at least has the plus button.
Yeah.
You can hold it down and it starts listening to your voice.
Oh,
and you
really?
Can talk to it and say, remind me to do this and this. So it's one extra step, but I can kind of use my voice to make tasks.
If I could somehow map that to Android Auto somewhere in my car, because the majority of the times I think of something I really need to
it's
think
when
about.
When you can't write it.
Are you ever driving and you're like 20 minutes from your destination? You're like, I need to do this when I get there. And it's like, I either need to write this down or it's the only thing I can say in my mind for the next 20 minutes. And then 10 minutes later, you forget. And then you get home later and realize.
Knew I had to do that. And I literally pick my phone up and try to put a task down as fast as possible. That's all I can try to do.
I'm getting anxiety. I think we need to do the trivia questions and wrap this up because
somebody out there can relate. There's definitely somebody in the comments section who's like, I also live my entire life in 3 apps.
I'm also miserable.
I'm trying. I'm really trying. Anyway, that's about it. That's it for now.
Yeah.
But let's get into the trivia answers to the best of our ability.
All right. So trivia question number 1. What was the first physical video format that was able to contain interactive special features? Multiple choice. The options are A, Laserdisc, B, Blu-ray, or C, DVD. Andrew gets to answer first.
So when you first said Laserdisc, that sounded right to me. I'm a little worried that it's too early. I think the multiple choice is actually messing me up here because I think I never like to pick the earliest or latest thing on a multiple choice. So that scares me. But I'm going to go with Laserdisc because I remember using them in school and I thought the teachers were able to do things off of it.
Marquez.
I am too young to remember what Laserdisc can or can't do.
There was very little from that I got to experience.
So just for that reason, I have to pick DVD.
I'm worried you're right.
The answer is Laserdisc.
Let's go, youngin.
Nice. Yeah, never
enjoy your
it.
Snapchat, kid.
What is a Laserdisc?
So I had to Google it too.
Yeah,
I didn't know what
it
was.
It's like a
it looks
big
cool.
disc though,
yeah.
right? It's not small.
Ellis knows things that I can only dream of.
Laserdisc.
They were used in school a lot. Oh yeah, they're huge. It's like a giant DVD.
Whoa.
Literally 12 inches across.
It's like a frisbee.
Oh, if I had seen that, I would have picked it. It's a size for those who are like me who have never seen a Laserdisc. Imagine probably know what a record is, but it looks like a CD. So it's a CD the size of a record. Oh my God. That's incredible. Yeah, of course that has the same features. Sure. Okay. Yeah, I believe you.
It's worth noting also that giant disc in the player would spin at up to 1,800 RPM.
Oh, did that make sounds?
Yeah.
Crazy sounds.
That's awesome.
That made crazy sounds.
All right. Okay. So we're all tied up. Marquez 3, Andrew 3.
Who answers first tied?
Oh, that's a great question.
Momentum swing? You keep going, maybe?
What's the next question? I forgot.
It was a social media.
I got to go first on this one, so I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice. Sure.
We're working on a way to fix this. It hasn't gotten here yet.
Okay. we're doing well.
Which social media app was released in 2011 and was originally called Peekaboo?
Peekaboo. 2011, I was a senior in high school. I was already on Twitter. It's not Twitter. Peekaboo sounds like ephemeral messaging, but Snapchat already existed. Maybe it didn't. Peekaboo? I don't think Snapchat started as Peekaboo, though. But it sounds like it, doesn't it?
That would be my guess, if I'm being honest.
I'm trying to think of anything
like
else.
Like, a quick look at something is like a Snapchat.
And Peekaboo also disappears, like Snapchat disappears.
What if we go to get, what if we both answer Snapchat at the same time?
That's the only thing I can think of. You don't have to answer differently than me, but I think if we both want the points, we probably both have to say
I'm just saying, like, I think I would do that. I think Snapchat would be my guess.
I have a feeling I'm wrong because I feel like it was always Snapchat, but I can't think of anything else that had disappearing messages, so I'm just gonna say Snapchat.
It wasn't one of those weird, what was the one we were talking, Yik Yak, right? It wasn't something like that where it was like you can post something to a local region and remember that?
I used to use like Foursquare and check into locations. Remember those?
Yeah.
And there was a competitor with like an orange logo that I forgot the name of, but that wasn't Peekaboo. I don't know.
Now I'm just confused. It's one of those things where you think of like social media as just like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and then you realize social media involves a vast
majority
of
different
things.
Circles, Buzz, Google Buzz. Remember Ping in iTunes?
Actually, you should probably guess it's a Google service because that's your best guess.
Because it doesn't exist anymore?
Yeah.
Ping was the music one in iTunes. That one didn't last very long. Circles and Buzz didn't last very long. Google Plus didn't last very long. That was Circles.
Wait, was the question originally called Peekaboo? Or?
Yeah, it was originally
called Peekaboo. Okay, then I'm going Snapchat because it's still
the first name. Yeah, I think it's Snapchat.
Okay. Snapchat.
All right.
Wow.
So tied up at 4-4.
Almost talked ourselves out of that.
Yeah, as you guys were talking, I was like, oh, I got to keep a poker face. Got to keep poker face.
That's pretty solid. Okay, Peekaboo. So they eventually renamed it to Snapchat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Better name.
Better name.
Much better name.
I wouldn't use Peekaboo today. That's for sure. Well, that's about it. Again, hopefully you can relate to my toxic trait, but thanks for listening to the rest of the episode as well. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week. We got a lot to talk about. And like I said, stay tuned. We've got videos coming. We've got a car that we're testing. We've got Techtember is like a month away. Just throwing that out there. Like, it's all happening soon.
We have an event next week, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Samsung's going to show us some phones.
Samsung's always like gets the ball rolling. So
Yeah. That's about the marker of the beginning of the end of our calendar. You should see my calendar.
Don't look at your calendar after that.
It's nuts. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys next week. See you then. Peace.
Waveform is produced by Adam Molina and Ellis Roven. We are partnered with Vox Media Podcast Network, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill. Thank you.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.